Welcome back to Praise and Pixels podcast, the podcast re-emerging from hiatus, and what a perfect time to do so than a fresh new year. It is January 3rd, 2022, and we are going to chug forward. I'm making time to do the things that mean a lot to me, and that is just doing my content creation around the things that I enjoy, and that is what the show is dedicated to, is the praise and pixels in my life. So you can contact the show by email at praiseandpixels@gmail.com. You can go to the website at praiseandpixels.com, and you can follow the show on Twitter at praiseandpixels. In each episode, I, Horena, will start the show giving praise, and I will finish by covering five forms of pixels each week. Faith, gaming, entertainment, pop culture, I will cover it all, so don't you worry. And I might throw in extra bonus episodes through the week if I feel like it. And we are going to get started with the praise. Here we go. All right, we're going to get the episode 4 started off with a book that I wanted to share with you. At the beginning of the year, it's a good time. People typically make goals, but I'm a firm believer you can make goals whenever you feel like it. So I just think that it is the status quo. Everybody makes goals at the beginning of the new year. So I want to share a book. It's called Know the Words of Jesus in 30 Days, and you can get it in hardcover or softcover. It was published on February 15th, 2010 by Stephen Lang. I put the link to it in the show notes, and it is available for like $15 on Amazon, and they even have 34 right now that are used that start at $3.49. But it breaks down to help you get to know Jesus as a person better, and also to go over like the concepts that he talks about in the Bible and break it down in digestible portions. So I really enjoy that, and especially if you are a very busy person, it's easy to continue to feel like you're learning, but also knowing, you know, in like I said, digestible portions, knowing that you're, when you sit down, you can break it up and be in control of how much you want to consume. So this portion and this praise is about my father's business. And in the book of Luke in the Bible, the theme is Luke presents Jesus as the Messiah and Lord, whose life, death, and resurrection make salvation available to people everywhere. And I'm going to read that to you. It is chapter 2 in Luke, verses 41. And it is titled, The Boy Jesus Amazes the Scholars. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement for which he spoke to them. So that hit me when I was reading that. I don't know why it never occurred to me before, because one of my favorite movies to watch around the Christmas time, ever since I was little, my parents, back when VHS was a thing, my mom had actually put in for a raffle of a free copy of the movie Home Alone back in the day. And the store that was running the raffle, or the, you know, drawing, because stores, when you would rent out movies, they would get extra copies. And then once the movie like ran through its popularity, they would just keep one copy, because you don't want a whole bunch of the same movie if not a lot of people are demanding to watch it at that point in time. So it had kind of waned in its popularity. So they were auctioning off, or like raffling off, a couple copies, and you could just put in for that raffle. So my mom actually won the, you know, not for sale copy of the Home Alone movie, and my sister and I would watch it religiously, like over and over and over again. And it hit me when I was reading this Bible verse, when I was starting this book. It was, oh my gosh, that's like the original Kevin moment. Like in Home Alone. I think, you know, like Mary was just assuming that Jesus was amongst the traveling group of people heading back home. And then when she's like, psh, I haven't seen my son in like a day. Maybe I'm going to go. I need to go and start checking with everyone and be like, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen him? And, you know, she had that original Kevin moment. She's like, Jesus, Kevin, where it hit her. Oh my gosh. Where is my son at? What have I done? Where did I leave him? And, you know, I think that's like a life goal for me. Not that I want to leave my child in some place and like not realize it for a couple days, but I want people to not have to wonder what I'm up to. I want that to be evident that I am about my Father's business. And I think that that is a great life goal, not just a 2022 goal, but a life goal that us as Christians should be able to want to actively work towards, knowing that when someone thinks about you, that they don't have to wonder where you are or what you're doing, but they can just naturally assume that you're about your Father's business. You know, you're not all up in everybody else's business. You're not creating, you know, like horrible situations in your life and in other people's lives, and you're doing the enemy's work. That they should naturally, it should be evident by looking at you or talking to you that you are about your Father's business. We as Christians should keep our nose to the grindstone and be in our Father's business too. So, and that encompasses all areas of our life. You know, like you invite God into all areas of your life, and that should be evident. I don't want my family to ever have to wonder, what is mom up to? You know, they should just know that I'm not doing anything shiesty, that everything's above board and I am about my Father's business. So I just wanted to share that with you guys, and I'm sure that praise. We'll be moving on to the 5 pixels of episode 4. Hey, hey, we're going to get started with pixel number 1. And it is a app called Picture This, and it is a plant identifier app that my family used a lot this past summer and fall and even into spring. So where you are right now might not be so useful if you're where I'm at right now, covered under a bunch of snow, but it's definitely something that you can even use indoors, or if you're plant shopping, you're looking for houseplants, you want to know if it's something that you can bring indoors or whatever. But it's a great tool to have, and it is called Picture This Plant Identifier, and you can install it for free on Android, that's through the Google Play Store, or iOS, and you can instantly identify plants. Accurate, fast, and content rich, this app has the ability to share the plant care tips, and that you can enjoy beautiful plant pictures from around the world, and also adds a description to each of the pictures. It helps more than 70,000 users identify, learn, and enjoy all kinds of plants, flowers, trees, succulents, cacti, and more. So when you take a walk during the sunny days, if you ever come across a beautiful flower that you want to know more about, or when you're doing gardening work and you needed tips on, you know, what these plants, if they're looking like they're dying and you don't know how to bring them back to life, all you have to do is take a photo of the plant, and Picture This app answers all the questions for you. It is capable of identifying 17,000 plus plant species with an accuracy of 98% or better than most human experts. With a revolutionary artificial intelligence engine, it's constantly learning from experts and specialists, identifying more and better every day. And now it's all at our fingertips. So it was super awesome. Whenever we go through a walk through the woods or whatever, and my kids would be like, what's this? What's this? And you'd be like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Well, you don't have to say I don't know anymore. All you gotta do is take your phone over and then identify it. And we had so much fun figuring out like how many edible plants that we actually had surrounding us, you know? So it was really cool. So some of the key features of the app is that it instantly identifies thousands of plants, flowers, trees, with an advanced artificial intelligence. It also learns about plants and discovers beautiful plant pictures taken by you and I, the users around the world. It also can allow you to get suggestions and advice from a network of friendly horticulture specialists inside of the app. And then it has the plant care tips and water reminders to help you better grow your lovely plants. And also it has an easy to use interface with friendly guides to help you get the best photo to share with others. And also the best photo to share with the app so it can really get a good idea of what you're trying to identify. And then it allows you to quickly and easily share your photos with a growing community of plant lovers, and also helps you to keep track of all the plants, trees, and flowers that you identify in your own personal collection. So as you are going through and scanning stuff and learning about what plants are surrounding you, it keeps them for you so you don't have to, you know, go, what was I learning? You know, where did we end up in our yard and stuff? So picture this team hopes to build a vibrant community for plant lovers. And I know my family really enjoyed using it, so I wanted to pass it on to you guys. We are moving into pixel number 2. All right, pixel number 2 is all about Steam. Steam is running an amazing winter sale right now, and I just wanted to remind you that it is January 3rd right now, and that sale, their winter sale, ends January 5th of 2022. And I just want to let you know, because there are some delicious steep discounts going on right now. Their whole front page is just full of discounts. I got on a discount, I wanted that cottage edition for Sims 4, because I had Sims 4 but I did not have any of the expansions, and it's normally $40, and right now for the Steam winter sale you can get it for only $20. I got the Hunter game that my husband has for my son and my daughter to play so they can all go on these Hunter expeditions, and that was like under $5. Valheim right now is not $20, it's actually only $14.99. So it ends at 10 a.m. on Pacific Standard Time on January 5th, and it is just loaded down with sales. I'll just tell you a few that I'm just going to scan over. Cooking Simulator, $19.99. These are some not as steep as the ones that I was seeing. Oh yeah, okay. Rust is $26.79. New World is $29.99, $10 off. Subnautica is 50% off. It's only $14.99. Skyrim is normally $40. It's $15.99. You get a 60% discount. Grim Dawn has an 80% discount. It's only $4.99. Red Dead Redemption 2 is normally $60. You can get it for $30. Rim World is normally $35. You can get it for $31. They're a little stingy on their discount, that one. The Witcher, this one was mind-blowing. The Witcher Wild Hunt is normally $40. You can get it right now for $7.99. What? Mount Blade 2 Bannerlord is down 20% from $50 to $40. And Biomutant is 50% discount. Normally $60. You can get it for $30. And so, yeah, a lot of steep sales right now. A lot of franchises are on sale. There's the Dishonored franchise. They have up to 80% off discounts. Mortal Kombat is up to 80%. Total War up to 75%. There's a lot of games. Even Raft came out with a renovation update. It's only $13.39. And Re-Legend is normally $20. It's only $11. Outward, normally $40. It's only $11.99. No Place Like Home, that like a cute little farm and whatever game, normally $9.99, it's $7.49, and now I'm like looking at it like I want to buy it. This looks adorable. No Place Like Home, humanity trashed the earth and left for Mars. Only a few remained. Explore the world, clean the environment, craft with recycled resources, domesticate animals, rebuild your village, restore environment, and run your own post apocalyptic farm, as there is no place like home. It came out on my birthday last year, or 2 years ago actually. It's December 23rd, 2020. And how cool is that? It is an early access game, and it's only $7.49 right now, but it's only $10 normally. So I think, since I've been spoiling myself, I will hold off by that, because it will just be added to my library. But if that sounds like something you are looking forward to, go for it. It's early access farming sim, RPG, base building, etc. So there we go. But what I wanted to tell you more about Steam is that it has been knocking it out of the park, because Steam has broke their own concurrent player record again to start off this new year of 2022. Fellows PC gaming marketplace Steam has hit a new concurrent user record, kicking off 2022 with yet another impressive achievement. Fellows PC gaming marketplace Steam had a particularly memorable year in 2021. On November 28th, Steam surpassed its previous concurrent usage record of 27.4 million, with 7.8 million of those players currently in game. It wasn't the first time Steam had smashed the record in 2021, and it doesn't appear that it will be the last, because Steam has smashed their concurrent user record for the second time on January 2nd, 2022, that was yesterday, with approximately 28 million users online at the same time. Any regular Steam user will not be surprised by the day's top games. So, this is what everybody was playing yesterday, the day they smashed the record. Today's most popular games of January 2nd, 2022 was Counter-Strike Global Offensive. It had the most concurrent players, with 867,147 people playing, followed by Dota 2 with 761,107 players playing. With roughly 350,000 concurrent players, PUBG Battlegrounds came in second, followed by Apex Legends with 221,000 gamers. Grand Theft Auto 5, Naraka Bladepoint, then Team Fortress 2, then followed by New World, then Rust, and then Ark Survival Evolved rounded out the top 10 games. So that was amazing. I just wanted to share that because Steam is my go-to place. I don't know why. I've tried using the other like Epic and stuff. I just can't. I just constantly go back to Steam, and I don't know why. It's not like it's some up-to-date UI or whatever. I mean, they've made a lot of upgrades and stuff. I don't know why. I just think it's very easy to use. It's very fluid. I mean, there are some sketchy games on there, don't get me wrong, but I just always lean towards Steam as a PC place to buy my games. I don't know why. I can't. I've had zero problems with them. I have no problems returning games if I don't like them. I just don't. So, that is that. Congratulations, Steam! And if you haven't taken a look at the Steam Winter Sales, definitely go do it, because your time is running out. All right, Pixel 3! The Samsung Gaming Hub will greatly improve game streaming accessibility. There is an article that talks all about this on GamerRant.com. I am just going to paraphrase and let you know about it. So Samsung, like many other firms, have gotten an early start on the official start day of CES by sending a press release announcing some of the new technology that attendees can expect to see this year. If you did not know, CES is an annual trade show organized by the Consumer Technology Association, and it is held in January this month in Las Vegas Convention Center. So I just want to let you know that if you didn't know what that was. So what they've done is they've sent ahead. They're like, hey, just want to let everybody know who's attending CES. This is what you can expect to see from us. So that is why we have this information now and not when it actually takes place. So just letting you know. The Samsung Gaming Hub is a game streaming platform powered by Tizen, a Linux-based mobile operating system, and that has already been unveiled. The center will provide quick access to some of the most popular game streaming services, including Nvidia GeForce Now, Google Stadia, and Utomic. With more to come, the Samsung Gaming Hub will be available on select Samsung Smart models, their smart TV models, later this year. So the Samsung Gaming Hub will also go one step further than LG's deployment of a standalone Stadia app to its smart TVs in 2021. They will actually allow users to instantly open their cloud gaming libraries in game consoles from a single interface, though it is unclear which consoles will be supported. People that subscribe to numerous game streaming services or own multiple consoles may find this functionality especially useful, because according to this press release, controllers can be synced with the Samsung Gaming Hub for a smooth experience, and a YouTube app can be added to the interface so that consumers can start watching their favorite gaming channels and streams right away. So, just wanted to give you a heads up. We have another gaming hub knocking at the door of the gaming human world, and let's see where it falls in the grand scheme of things. But it sounds like they're aiming to make it more of a buttery smooth experience for people who like to play multiple consoles, because that's pretty awesome. So I'm excited to see what they have to say about that when CES actually takes place. All right, moving on. All right, so because we are starting a new year, I wanted to share some of the biggest games to keep an eye out for that are scheduled to release this month, January 2022, and next month, February 2022. And as we go forward, I will keep an eye on and share with you what March and April and so on has in store for us. So 2022 has inherited some of the most promising video game lineups in recent memory, and that is in thanks part and due to the large number of games that actually were postponed in 2021. So yeah, we may have been kind of bummed out last year, but a lot of those new release dates that were pushed off are actually happening this year so far. Let's keep an eye on it. So with the new year fast approaching, well, we're already there, so we don't really, these new release dates will be fast approaching. I wanted to highlight the most promising projects on the horizon. So we have right now, there's a lot to look forward to in the next year, and these are the ones for January and February. We have Rainbow Six Extraction. Ubisoft kicks off 2022 with Rainbow Six Extraction. It is going to be a PvE spinoff of its ultra-popular shooter, Rainbow Six Siege. The release date for that is January 20th, and it will come out on platforms PS5, Xbox Series XS, PS4, Xbox One, Stadia, PC, and the developer, like I said, is Ubisoft. And also, keep an eye out for Pokemon Legends Arceus, the first big Switch exclusive of the year. Pokemon Legends Arceus takes Nintendo's beloved monster collecting franchise in a bold new direction. And that release date is January 28th, and the platform is Switch, and the developer is Game Freak. And keep an eye out for Dying Light 2 Stay Human. Coming 7 years after the release of the original Dying Light 2, Stay Human brings players to a new region of Techland zombie-filled open world that is supposed to release in February 4th on the PS5, Xbox Series XS, PS4, Xbox One, PC, and the developer is Techland. Then, Sifu is a new kung fu game from Slow Clap, the studio behind 2017's combat-focused RPG Absolver. The release date for that is February 8th. The platform is PS5, PS4, PC, and the developer is Slow Clap. And Crossfire X is also coming out in February, and that is an ultra-popular PC shooter. Crossfire will come to consoles for the first time in early of next year. Both the single-player and free-to-play player modes will be released, though, on February 10th, and that will be released on Xbox Series XS, Xbox One. Developers are Remedy Entertainment and Smilegate. Total War Warhammer 3 is also scheduled to come out in February. Sega's acclaimed strategy series returns in 2022 with Total War Warhammer 3. Developer Creative Assembly is introducing two new playable factions, Kislev and Cathay. For this third entry, as part of the most diverse array of legendary heroes, gargantuan monsters, flying creatures, and magical powers that the series has ever seen, Total War Warhammer 3 will launch into Xbox Game Pass for PC. That is scheduled to happen in February 17th. And like I said, the platform is PC and the developer is Creative Assembly. Horizon Forbidden West, the first of three big PlayStation first-party exclusives on the list, as Horizon Forbidden West continues Aloy's journey as she investigates the mysterious red blight threatening life on Earth. It is one of the most anticipated games of the year, and if nothing else, it does promise to be a stunning experience because the trailer looks pretty amazing. The release date is February 18th. The platforms are for PS5 and PS4, and the developer is Guerrilla Games. We have two more, and the second to last is Elden Ring. from Software, Set Loose, an Unstoppable Hype Train at E3 2019 when it revealed Elden Ring, which is a third-person action-adventure made in collaboration with A Song of Ice and Fire author George R.R. Martin. The release date is February 25th. The platforms are PS5, Xbox Series XS, PS4, Xbox One. PC developer is From Software. And the last to be added in February is the trend of asymmetrical player game based on classic horror franchises continues in 2022 with Evil Dead the Game. In addition to a PvP mode in which one player controls the Kandarian demon, Evil Dead will offer co-op and single-player options. It will release on February 2022. They have not picked an exact date, but the release window is the month of February. And it is supposed to come out on PS5, Xbox Series XS, and PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC. And the developer is, that's quite a mouthful on reading all the platforms they are going to be launching on. The developer is Saber Interactive. All right. And now I'm going to be moving into number 5, what I have been playing and watching. All right, for Pixel 5, I'm going to wrap up what I've been playing and watching so far. So, playing-wise, I have been hitting Final Fantasy 14. Well, that was before, like, when in the midst of COVID. In the beginning of December, my family lasted the entire pandemic. And we didn't get anything, at least nothing that we thought was it. We could have had it and didn't know. But we think we got that newest one, that Omicron, whatever. And it's supposed to like spread really fast, but not be as horrible from what I've been hearing. So that my husband came down with a positive COVID, and then it hit the rest of us. It does not matter how well we quarantined, how many times we sprayed Lysol, how many of us had masks, how many of us did social distancing. None of that mattered. It literally flew through our house like wildfire. And it lasted from the whole window of time was like, it started with him and it ended with me. And it was like 3 weeks. I feel like we thank the Lord for shipped because, you know, they got to bring us our groceries. We have in-laws that definitely would have done it. But shipped was a lifesaver for us. So if you've never thought about using that during a pinch, definitely recommend it. And so during that time I was so bummed because the minute Final Fantasy 14 came out with Endwalker, its latest expansion, I didn't feel the pressure of everyone else because I'm just starting playing. Like I do a podcast for it called Sprout Life, and because we start out as sprouts in the game, and that lets everybody know that you're new so they don't like throw rocks at you and give you too hard of a side eye. And I really enjoy the game. I stopped playing World of Warcraft with all the sexual harassment nonsense and all that. I don't like how they are treating their employees. I don't like how they're handling it on social media. I don't like any of it. And I just can't put my money behind a company I've done for so many years. I can't. I'm that person. Like I will boycott with my wallet. So I picked up Final Fantasy 14 and I have really enjoyed it. I really love the company. They are really kind to the players, the player base. I really love their game. There, you get so much as a consumer than I didn't realize what I wasn't getting it from Blizzard. Like Blizzard is so stingy now because it's Blizzard Activision. I feel like when it was old school Blizzard, they were way nicer, kinder. The gifts you would get in game didn't have like, you get like this awesome mount and you could only ride it 20 times or, you know, it's not like none of their gifts come with a time limit in Final Fantasy. They are very giving with their content. And that has been that has been a breath of fresh air because I had no idea what I was missing out on because I had been a Blizzard gamer for so long. I didn't know what it felt like. It's like being in a horrible relationship with someone for so long and then you break up and then you start a new one and you're like, whoa. That's what this is supposed to be like. That's how I felt when I went from Blizzard, Warcraft to Square Enix, Final Fantasy. It was like night and day. The developer himself writes very heartfelt, caring messages to the community. You don't get that with Blizzard. You don't get that. You get nothing. You get snark and how dare you condescending stuff. And it's just changed over the years. So it has been a breath of fresh air. So on the heels of that, they did have a rough, they continue to have a rough time right now because so many people bled from Azeroth and they went and landed in Eorzea. And that really put a stress on the servers for Square Enix and for Final Fantasy XIV Online. And there were queues if you were on like a high pop server. Well, then when Endwalker came out, whoa, blew up the queues like crazy. And you would still, I haven't tried yet because through taking care of everybody when they were sick, I started a whole fresh character on like European servers. So by the time everybody in the European servers were going to bed, I was logging in and it was beautiful. I had like 4 people in queue as opposed to if I still played on Cactuar on North American servers, I had 6,000 people ahead of me. It was nuts. So I was like, wow, I'm going to start over it because I didn't even have a max tune. That's a lot to ask. And that's the other thing about playing Final Fantasy. You don't level the tune. You level the jobs. And there's so many different jobs and you're not locked in. Like when you go to play another game, like if, you know, I will reference World of Warcraft, like if I'm leveling a mage, I'm stuck on that mage and I level from 1 to wherever the level cap is. Well, in Final Fantasy XIV, that's not a thing. You are one character with no levels and you can pick up a new job and set it down. And if it doesn't, you know, resonate with you, you pick up a new one. So right now I re-rolled an Arcanist. So I'm leveling an Arcanist on the European servers, and it has been awesome. But if I didn't like Arcanist, I could put it down and try Lancer. And if I didn't like Lancer, I could put it down and try Archer, and so on and so on. So I really love that part of the game. And that I was logging in while I was sick. I'm like, wow, I could just sit on my laptop and play this on the computer and I'm sick and I was having a good old time. But then my husband, he loves to play games in the winter because he's always busy outdoors and stuff when the weather's nice. But now that we're locked in with all the snow and cold temps, we tend to gravitate in our little family room in the basement in our little cozy cave and we play games together. So the Valheim I bought him last year, he dusted off and decided to play. So we fired up a server for us and we have been playing Valheim together and then, or at least keeping each other in tune because I stayed at original base and I love that game too. And I kept telling him that he would love this game I bought him because I bought it when it was on sale like last year. And I was like, dude, you're going to love this game because we both loved Ark Survival Evolved. Like I had almost 5,000 hours in Ark Survival Evolved. So when Valheim came along, I was like, this is totally up my alley. So the thing I didn't like about Ark Survival Evolved is that it went from being prehistoric life to then all of a sudden we're shooting lasers and there's these big, huge tech stuff. I hated the tech stuff they added. I just hated it. I liked feeling like there was a more, not such a gap in technology. Like there you go from living in a stone house to living in a metal house, you know, like thatch, wood, stone, metal, and then all of a sudden you're portaling everywhere and you got lasers and you're cloning and I don't know. It was just so over the top. I hated it. And Valheim right now reminds me of how I felt when I started playing Ark Survival Evolved was that down in the basics, you're leveling your technology at a decent pace. And I love the fact that the physics in the game are hilarious. I didn't tell my husband that when he's chopping wood, he should probably not be downhill from where the log's gonna fly, because I had already learned the hard way when I was playing, because I would chop a tree and the tree would fall and it would just roll. So spoiler alert, if you've never played Valheim and you want to get an authentic experience, just fast forward a little bit. Because if you don't fast forward, you're going to find out that if you're chopping trees in Valheim, that you need to move because they'll roll over you and kill you. And I loved it. I was like, that's so amazing. So I love that part. And I love the part that logs float in the water like they should, and that you could push them around and push them up to land. You could push them into little creatures that are trying to kill you. I just love it. And I love the fact that you build your base, and then sometimes the wood, it says the forests are moving across your screen. And then all of a sudden, a big mob of little creatures come out and start kicking the you know, biscuits out of your fort. I love that. I love feeling like I am always under threat of an attack, right? So I really dig it. And I love the way that they do the portal thing in the game, because it seems to mesh well. They don't make it look high tech. It's like a little fire circle. You know, I really love that. I like that they didn't, I guess, how to explain it. I feel like they didn't jerk me out of one time period and fast forward me into some space period. It's all kept with like that Viking energy, you know. I really love that. So I'll keep you in tune on that. But I tamed my first boar. And the one thing that I really wish that they would do differently is make it easier to control your tamed animals, because I had to like shuffle them everywhere by getting behind them. It looks very awkward. I get behind them and I start jumping and I'm like literally pushing them with my body to get them or to the pen where I want to keep them. So that has been a lot of fun. And then while my husband had been working a lot of overtime the last couple of days, I would log in and go over to his base, because I stayed in the safe area where we started, and I wanted to practice like taming and gardening and stuff over there, while he wanted to go and dive right in to like, you know, mastering kicking monsters' butts and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I'll save that for later. I'm letting him do all that, and then he can figure it out and then tell me what we need to do. So I have been having a blast redoing my house. And I thought it was so cool that he went, and for the Christmas time, we got to make Christmas trees. And then this is another dynamic I really like about the game. The more you do to your fort to make it feel homey, you actually get a buff, a comfort buff. And I thought that was really awesome. So I went in and there were like three Christmas trees in my home, and there was a table and chairs, and he even put like a little plaque with like a Bible verse on it, one of his favorite Bible verses. And I'm like, this guy's amazing. That's why I married him. Because he's like, I went and made your house all comfy for you because you get a comfort buff, you know, because there is no way that dude would have done that had it not had a buff tied to it. He wouldn't have been like, oh, I'm going to go decorate her house, because that's not how he rolls. You know what I mean? That's my place. You know, I decorate our house. I decorate my fake houses. But I thought that was really cool. I logged in. It was like the gaming version of him doing the dishes, you know, out of the blue. It was like that. I was like, whoa, I didn't know you were capable of doing something so amazing. So that was awesome. I love that. So that's what I'm doing right now in game. And also, the third, I know if you're not a reality TV person like I am, I really love the show. I've mentioned it, I think, before. It's called The Circle. I feel like I have. I don't know. But there's The Circle on Netflix. I really like it. It's the third season of the reality TV show. The Circle came out, and I binged that while I played Valheim. And I love that show because it shows how easy it is for someone to not only, one, catfish someone on the internet, but also, two, it shows at the end of the day, we as humans still crave community and being seen for who we are and having genuine relationships and connections with our other fellow humans, and that we don't do good in isolation because we were not meant to be alone 24/7. And this show actually puts its contestants in like this apartment complex, and they can't see each other, but they can only interact through the Circle app that has been integrated into their apartments. And they can make their profile for them a legitimate, honest profile, or they can catfish as someone that they know in the real world or just some rando picture they got. And they have to somehow constantly rank each other and vote each other. And at the end of the game, they win $100,000. So I like that. It's rated mature, but I didn't hear any cussing or a lot of talk about like mature content. So I don't really know, but I listen to all of my stuff through earbuds, and I even when I watch at my computer and stuff too, because you never know if something slips out. You don't want your kids to hear it. It's easier that way. It's easier to not let it go in than to try to extract it from their mind. So I really love that show. I love reality TV shows, not the stupid ones like Desperate Housewives of, you know, whatever. But I can't do that. I don't like watching people fight and all that stuff. But The Circle is really nice. I like it because each person has their own identity. They have to. I was rolling this episode. I don't remember laughing as much as I did because there were guys that have to catfish as being women. They chose two girls that wanted to catfish as their bigger brother. There was one of the funniest ones in there. Was this duo, these two sisters, this had me cracking up. They were voted out. They were blocked. That's the way that when you're kicked out, you're blocked. So they were blocked. And then all of a sudden, the Circle gave them the option to pretend to be one of the other players in the game. And they chose this lady named Michelle, who was from the South, and she had a blue... Oh, she had an orange circle around her picture. Well, they had to come into the game and pretend that they were Michelle. And then the real Michelle was like, what? So it was like a catfish version of Michelle and the real version of Michelle. And then it was like totally confusing everybody else in the game. Like, which is the real one? We thought we were talking to the real one this whole time. So the poor real Michelle ends up getting, spoiler alert, she ends up getting voted out. Because the fake Michelle... did such a great job pretending to the two women pretending to be Michelle that they tricked a group of people into thinking that they were indeed the real one. And that, once again, I love watching shows like this because there's a lot of messages hidden in there. And one of the messages in there is that sometimes people will just take the first thing that they are told and run with it. You know, it was really astounding to see how these two women could get in and do some crazy smear campaign against the real Michelle and totally bamboozle the whole group of people. It is just showing you how easy some people find it to believe the whatever they're told. Instead of like doing a deep dive and like researching stuff, they just take the first version of what they get and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds good. It was just mind blowing. But this episode definitely, I think, was the best one out of the last two or this season. So if that sounds like something that you would like, go for it. If it doesn't, just drive right on by. And it is time to drive right on by because we're moving into closing time. In closing, I just wanted to say thank you for choosing to hit play on this episode that just appeared in your podcast players, you know, after so many months. And I just really want to let you know that it is my intent to put out current regular content. So hold me accountable if you feel like it. Also, you can get a hold of the show and be a part of the show by letting me know some pixels of your own. Do you have some praises you want to share? Do you have some pixels you want to share? You can do that by emailing the show at praiseandpixels@gmail.com. You can also head to the website praiseandpixels.com, and you can also follow the show at praiseandpixels on Twitter. And also, there is a voice record option there. If you want to leave one, go for it. And also, you can support the show by leaving reviews wherever you're listening and retweeting the show and sharing it. So that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. God bless. And let's have an amazing 2022. Bye.